Adventure Box Max presents The Legends of the Guardians of Issel, written by Antoine Lefranc, illustrated by Elizabeth Jam. Chapter 1. Meeting the Guardian. From the top of the ramparts around our city, all of the citizens of Issel are watching us. Three teenagers standing at the entrance of the city's lighthouse. Surrounded by water, the tall lighthouse is connected to the city's embankments by nothing more than a narrow jetty. Sea spray whips our faces. The small door of the lighthouse squeaks open, and a lady with a wrinkled face appears. The three of us bow our heads, and all the citizens copy us. The elderly lady is Guardian Trisanda. It's thanks to her that the city of Issel hasn't been swallowed up by waves. Endowed with magic powers that enable her to control water, the Guardian can transform an unruly storm into a calm sea. Welcome, young people. Show me your bright young faces. The old lady advances, leaning on a stick formed from ice. It's a magnificently carved object. Trisanda observes me with a kind expression on her face. My forehead bears a small bluish mark shaped like a water drop. The two boys beside me have the same mark. It appeared on each of us a week ago. Every 50 years, three inhabitants of Issel discover a water drop forming on their forehead. This mark means that we are gifted with magic powers that will allow us, if we train hard, to master the water element and become guardians ourselves. It is time for new guardians to emerge, because Trisanda is the last living bearer of knowledge about the magic of Issel. She examines our three marks carefully and smiles at us before showing us a glass jar full of water. Now it's time for the test. To prove that your mark is authentic, show me what you can do with this water. The old lady pours a bit of liquid into her palm and holds it out to me. She smiles at me and says, Laravine, repeat after me, Glacio. If you are truly gifted with a guardian's powers, that's how you'll transform the water into ice. I obey and pronounce the magic word, but nothing happens. I try again a few times, unsuccessfully.
Oh no!
Cries of disappointment coming from the crowd 300 meters away, carried by the wind, reach my ears. There are even a few jeers. I start to lose confidence in my ability to pass the test. Luckily, Trisanda reassures me. You're too rushed, girl. Take your time. I breathe in deeply and stare at the water in her wrinkly palm before shouting, Glacio! The water smooths out straight away. I've done it! The guardian drops the piece of ice and it shatters on the ground. A torrent of applause and shouts of joy come from the ramparts. I blush with pride. Nothing escapes the attention of citizens with telescopes, and they announce the good news to the other spectators.
Laravine! Laravine!
The crowd chants my name. Some people had hoped to see me fail. My father, captain of the soldiers of Issel, is one of the best known and most respected men in Issel. As soon as the mark appeared on my forehead, the news spread throughout Issel. The captain's daughter, a future guardian. In the streets, people stared at me with a mixture of admiration and curiosity, as if I was a mini celebrity or a curious beast. It wasn't very pleasant. Now it's the turn of the young man beside me. I know him a bit. His name is Orel, and his parents are modest servants. He has the reputation of being rather mischievous. Trisander directs a welcoming, toothless smile at him. He concentrates hard and repeats the magic word. After a few tries, ice forms. Once again, the crowd claps and cheers.
Aurel! Aurel!
I'm delighted that he's succeeded. I don't risk getting bored with him around. The guardian now holds her palm out to the other young man who has been summoned with us. He's not someone I know, but of course Isil is a big city. When we were walking to the lighthouse, he told me that his name is Vigor, and that he comes from a fishing family living on an island off Isil. Vigor gazes at the liquid and chants, Glacio. Right away, I hear a noise of glass shattering and cries of astonishment rise from the crowd. Vigor managed to freeze all the water in the jar. He's incredibly gifted. Even the guardian looks surprised, but she merely says, Well done, all three of you. You are now apprentice guardians. Congratulations and welcome to the Isil Lighthouse. Chapter 2. The Guardian's Apprenticeship. We enter the lighthouse and climb up a long winding staircase. The walls are lined with spell books. I ask Trisander, Have you read all these books? Oh, yes. And you'll do the same, dear apprentices. When we're almost at the top, we enter a room that resembles a library. I hold back a cry of surprise and take a step back. 8 burly blue creatures stand in front of us and stare at us in silence.
Don't be afraid, Trisander tells us. My ice golems are mainly assigned domestic chores. They look intimidating, but these mighty fighters are also here to protect us. They're practically invincible, except that they fear hot water.
Can we create them as well? Asks Vigor.
Of course, but it will take you long years of apprenticeship, the guardian replies with a smile.
Trisander leads us upstairs where we find the refectory and our sleeping quarters. Then we climb up the final steps to reach the top of the lighthouse. The guardian pushes open a trapdoor in the ceiling and invites us to follow her. I'm enthralled by the sight that meets my eyes. In the west, we see the slate rooftops of Isil that stretch out to the city's ramparts, and everywhere else, the sparkling sea.
The view is magnificent, I'll grant you that. Yet we're not here to admire it, but to keep watch,
Trisander announces grimly.
A guardian can spot the two greatest threats to Isil in the distance. Storms and the warships of Plamodion.
I shiver when I hear this name. Plamodion is an enemy city. Terrifying stories are told about its residents, raised to hate Isil. The two cities have been at war for ages, and their king wishes to see us destroyed. On the ramparts of Isil, soldiers are always on the lookout, and they dread an invasion attempt from the sea. It's time to lighten Trisander's load. To counter Plamodion's sinister plans, 3 new guardians aren't too many. We go back down to the main room. A golem advances and places on the table 4 bowls of delicious-smelling stew. I will have to get used to the presence of these mute creatures that are as helpful as they are formidable.
A long time ago, I was in your position, young people, Trisander confides. I was your age when I left my family and friends to start my training as a guardian. I hope that you're not too sad.
Aurel speaks up. If only you knew how my parents jumped with joy when they saw the mark on my forehead. Thanks to this duty,
I have the good fortune of not ending up as a servant like them. It's a blessing.
I don't show the same enthusiasm as my fellow apprentice when it's my turn to speak. Ever since I was small, I was raised to take over from my father as captain of Esau's soldiers. But when my mark appeared, he had to accept that my destiny is to protect Esau through magic, not weapons. I regret having spent so much time practicing my bow and arrow skills. A guardian doesn't need to be a good archer.
Society is unfair to guardians. We're the real protectors of Esau, and yet we're sentenced to live as recluses in the lighthouse. Ah,
sighs Vigor.
If only Esau was more ambitious, we could use our powers to form an army of golems and conquer other cities.
That's not part of our plans, Trisanda protests. The guardians have a role as protectors, not as conquerors. But I understand your zeal, young Vigor. Look at my ice stick. I made it a few years before I was received in the lighthouse. This weapon is not only light, but also capable of piercing any material. I've never had the chance to use it in combat, and now I use it to lean on and rest.
We finish our meal and the golems clear the table. Then the guardian places piles of books before us and asks,
"Ready for your first lesson, young people?"
2 weeks have gone by. We can now transform a cauldron of liquid water into vapour or ice. The lessons are demanding for Aurel. The thing is, he didn't know how to read or write when he arrived here. I'm given the task of teaching him to decipher words, but it's hard work. As for Vigor, he doesn't help much to tutor Aurel. He spends most of his time alone, studying or practicing. Even at night I see him staying up in bed with a candle and a thick book. Even if the guardian keeps reminding him that the apprenticeship isn't a competition, he still makes it a point of honour to be the best in everything. He's particularly interested in the ice golems. Today, facing a bucket of water, he's practicing creating a little golem replica.
Golema creata!
Immediately, a miniature ice golem, 20 centimetres tall, appears in front of him. Vigor cries out triumphantly, but the little creature doesn't move. My comrade gets angry. For now, he can only manage to create sculptures, not living beings. To cheer him up, Aurel chants,
Aquasfera!
A sphere of water is propelled against the golem, and it falls backwards like a skittle. I burst out laughing, but Vigor frowns and goes back to reading his book of spells. It seems like he thinks having fun is a waste of time. That evening we dine together in the refectory. I bring my goblet to my lips, but I spit out the mouthful of water. It's boiling! Aurel laughs. He's changed the temperature of my water for fun. To take revenge, I turn his soup cold. Irritated to see us acting this way, the guardian protests,
Young people, our gift is not a toy. Come with me. It's time for me to show you something.
Slightly ashamed of being scolded like a child, I get up from my chair and follow the guardian. She leads us to a door guarded by a golem. The ice sentinel bows to Trisanda and moves to one side.
This is the room where artifacts are stored, Trisanda explains, pushing open the heavy door. This golem guards it day and night. You'll soon see why.
We enter the small room holding just a desk and a well in the centre. Intrigued, I go closer. Water on the surface of the well bubbles up as it boils, making a sinister noise. "What is it?" I asked the guardian.
"An exit door, only to be used in emergencies," replies the guardian. "But we'll talk about that later. I urge you to take your powers seriously. I want you to see this."
The guardian goes to the desk filled with visibly old objects.
"These are very powerful artifacts created by previous guardians," she explains. "They're all related to water. Here, this one is called the Pendamar."
She picks up a small glass box engraved with complicated symbols and shows it to us. I suppress a shudder. The Pendamar. So it really exists. My father often mentioned it to me. When I was naughty, he liked to joke and say that if I didn't stop, he'd ask the guardian to lock me up inside it.
"When you open it and aim it at someone," the guardian tells us, "it can suck up their soul. After all, the soul is only a fluid. The target's body then becomes nothing more than an empty shell, and the soul remains imprisoned in the Pendamar unless it is shattered."
The guardian continues,
"Do you understand now, young people, that your powers aren't to be taken lightly?"
We nod silently. Vigor seems to be fascinated by the object. The guardian allows him to hold the artifact briefly before she takes it back and leaves it on the desk.
"Our powers are for doing good above all. They're useful for protecting and not destroying. Now get ready, because I observed the horizon today. Tomorrow the weather will be bad and the sea will be rough, so you'll experience your first confrontation with a storm."
Chapter 3. A Storm and a Betrayal. The next evening, Aurel, the guardian, and I go to the top of the lighthouse. Vigor is feeling sick and stays in bed. It's completely dark and the stars are clouded over. That's the sign that a storm is approaching. According to Trisander, it's going to be a particularly violent one. I tremble a bit at the idea of confronting it.
"The first waves will appear soon," the guardian warns us.
She stands up on a platform and asks us to join her there when heavy rain begins to fall. In the distance, I see a wave forming, the storm's first strike.
"And now, dear apprentices, let's join hands, stare at the wave, and repeat after me, aquaplana."
Aquaplana.
We chant the spell together. Quickly, the wave falls and flattens like a dog obeying its master.
"That one was easy,"
the guardian murmurs.
"The biggest wave, one that could submerge Isil if we do nothing, will be forming in 1 hour. Until then, let's warm ourselves up and fight a bigger one. Look, there's one in the distance."
Another wave has just appeared, and indeed it seems much larger and more powerful. We concentrate and pronounce the spell at the same time to unite our powers.
Aquaplana.
But this time the spell doesn't work like it did with the first wave. We're unable to break its destructive momentum. Above all, the guardian's voice weakens. Her hand loosens its grip and cools. I turn my attention from the wave and look at Trisander. Her eyes are closed. Her body tips over before she collapses on the platform.
Ah!
Aurel cries out in distress. What's happening? Suddenly, a familiar voice speaks behind me.
Pendamar Encloser.
I turn around and see Vigor facing the platform. What's he doing here? He's supposed to be sick. Suddenly, my blood freezes when I notice what he's holding. The Pendamar. A blue light glows from the glass box. I realize what has just happened. Vigor has taken the Pendamar and used it to imprison the Guardian's soul. A shiver of incomprehension mixed with fear runs through my body. How did Vigor get hold of the Pendamar?
Vigor!
I scream. Have you gone crazy? Free Trisander's soul immediately.
I'm not crazy,
the apprentice cries back.
I have no choice. The day after the blue mark appeared on my forehead, my parents disappeared. I then received a visit from the spies from Plamodion. They told me my parents were being kept in their city's jail, and they offered me a deal. If I agreed to capture the Guardian and to destroy Esau, they'd release my parents. Don't worry about the Guardian. I'll free her soul once she's safe in the Plamodion dungeon. A Guardian who's alive is priceless.
For one moment, our eyes meet and stay locked. To think that this boy I'd studied and eaten with in the past few days was really a traitor. I decide to act. From a puddle of water starting to form at my feet, I create a stalactite and I seize it. Aurel does the same. Armed this way, we both head towards Vigor, yelling,
For Esau!
We're interrupted by 8 golems who position themselves between Vigor and us. They've just rushed down the stairs and are now facing the traitor. I cheer inwardly. Even if Vigor is gifted, his powers are limited. Yet despite the creature's appearance, the apprentice still looks triumphant. He points us out to the golems and says,
Golema, Laravine et Aurel Capturo.
The golems then pivot and take 2 steps in our direction.
Chapter 4. The Portal.
Vigor rejoices.
While I was reading the spell books, I discovered a spell that let me take control of the golems and seize the Pendamar. Now I'm untouchable.
Aurel protests.
Your golems might be powerful, but there aren't enough of them to destroy our city. They're not here to attack, just to defend me. To destroy Esau, I just need to wait for the big wave. Without the Guardian, nothing will save the city. When the rumble of the tidal wave wakes the inhabitants, they'll have just enough time to run before Esau is swallowed up. Surrender to me now. If you do, I'll make sure that no harm comes to you.
One golem tries to catch me. Thanks to the training from my father, I counter its attack with my stalactite. Aurel also succeeds in sidestepping the first attacks made on him. But these creatures seem invincible. My blows have no effect on them. One of them seizes my makeshift weapon and snaps it in half.
Laravine, it's no use fighting them. We have to flee,
shouts Aurel. My companion is right. We're no match for Vigor and his golems. We run down the steps to the bottom of the lighthouse. Unfortunately, the entrance door is locked. Vigor must have taken care of that. The golems are on our trail and approach noisily.
Laravine, come with me, cries Aurel. I have an idea. There's another exit.
My companion firmly takes my hand and guides me to the artifact room where the Guardian showed us the Pendamar. I don't understand Aurel's plan. This room doesn't lead outside. We're trapped, like rabbits in cages.
Don't you remember the well? The Guardian told us that it's an emergency exit.
The ice soldiers burst into the room. Plunging into the boiling water doesn't appeal to me, but I'd rather that than be cut up into pieces. Also, the well is too narrow for the golems to jump into. Aurel clambers over its opening, dips his legs in, and vanishes straight away as if he's been absorbed. It's my turn to jump in. As soon as I come in contact with the boiling water, it reacts. The bubbles seem to transform into miniature hands that grip me and pull me under the surface. Panicking, I try to free myself, but the force dragging me down is stronger. I have just enough time to take one last deep breath before being sucked up.
Chapter 5: Attack on the Lighthouse.
Quickly, I feel myself gaining speed. I'm like a marble rolling through a tube. I wonder where I'm going to end up and whether my lungs will hold out. They're on the verge of bursting. Suddenly, I can feel myself rising. I see light above me. That must be the exit, and it's not too soon. I stick my head out of the water, and after taking in a delicious lungful of fresh air, I open my eyes. Aurel is there and helps to pull me out of the well. We're in a tiny room with bare stone walls. "Well done," I congratulate my friend. "Great idea to think of the well. Now we have to work out where we've landed. I hope it's nowhere too isolated. We don't have much time. The destructive wave the Guardian warned us about is due to form soon." We go out of the room and discover a dark corridor. Despite the gloominess, I immediately recognise the spot. We're in the barracks of the soldiers of Esau. Followed by Aurel, I run to my father's quarters. We're quickly spotted by a sentinel who calls out in alarm,
"Alert! Intruders!"
I stop advancing, lift my hands and shout, "It's me, Laravine! I must see the captain immediately. Esau is in peril." Soldiers circle us, but when they recognise me, they lower their weapons. Woken by his men, my father rushes to meet me.
"Laravine, what are you doing here? Why did you leave the lighthouse?"
Quickly, I tell him what has happened, and he turns pale as he listens. In a commanding voice, he orders his men to sound the general alarm.
"I want all of the soldiers in combat gear. We're going to take back the lighthouse. Ring the watchtower bell. The city must be evacuated."
"I've never been so happy to see so many soldiers around me," Aurel smiles. "Shall we take the well again?"
"Impossible. The Guardian who created the well deliberately made it work one way only,"
my father declares.
"We need to access the lighthouse by the main entrance. Laravine, take this."
My father holds out to me a bow and a quiver full of arrows. He adds,
"I'm certain you'll be an excellent guardian, but for now I also need your warrior skills."
Proud of this compliment, I sling the bow and quiver over one shoulder. Accompanied by 20 soldiers, we race out of the barracks. Now the storm has grown wilder. Rain falls harder. Wind rushes through the streets of Esau and forces us to bend over as we advance. Once we're at the port, my father urges us to be careful.
"Watch out. The waves often submerge the jetty leading to the lighthouse. Advance prudently or you'll end up in the water."
We head towards the lighthouse with determination, but it's hard to make progress. The closer we approach, the more violent the waves become. Finally, we reach the foot of the edifice. At the top, I can make out Vigo. The traitor yells at us.
"Scram, while there's still time. Not another step closer, or I'll use a spell to bring down on you a shower of arrows."
A projectile whistles past my ear. Now armed with ice bows, golems appear beside their new master and take aim at us.
Chapter 6: Esau in Peril.
Some soldiers shelter behind their shields and protect us as much as they can from the projectiles raining down on us.
It's out of the question that we let our city perish without fighting back.
My father bellows. Behind us, more soldiers arrive, armed with a massive beam that they try to use as a battering ram to force the locked door open. Unfortunately, they can't advance without exposing themselves to danger. Panic spreads through the ranks.
Laravine,
Aurel exclaims.
What if we used the raindrops as arrows?
It's when I look at my companion that I understand what he means. I take hold of his hand and we chant the spell we've learned to brutally raise the temperature of the falling rain. Noisy cries break out overhead. The golems are forced to retreat. Aurel and I have transformed the harmless water drops into menacing projectiles, capable of melting their icy bodies. The soldiers take advantage of this lull to charge at the door with their makeshift battering ram. Boom! Bam! The lighthouse door is heavy. The soldiers strike it aggressively, but it resists.
Crack!
At last, the door gives way.
Yes!
We give a victory cry and rush into the lighthouse. We have to free Trisander. Strangely, we come across no resistance as we climb up. On every floor, we brace ourselves to combat golems, but no one attacks us. I remind the soldiers of our priority. They're all gathered at the top. Listen, our objective is to shatter the Pendamar. As soon as the Guardian's soul is released, she'll re-enter her body and stop the storm before Isel is submerged. She's the only one who can save our city. Long live Isel!
Long live Isel!
The soldiers echo my war cry. I'm happy to see a glint of pride in my father's eyes. We reach the top of the lighthouse. As I'd expected, the golems are waiting for us, this time equipped with swords and shields. They form two lines in front of Vigor, who grips the Pendamar tightly in his hands. Frightful rumble booms. I turn around. It's the dreaded wave we've heard about. Pushed by the storm, it's rushing straight towards us. If it hits Isel, it will sweep over the ramparts and the city will be unable to resist. Even with Aurel, I have no chance of weakening it.
Help! Help!
Cries of panic reach us from the city. I see citizens, welcomed by the soldiers, standing on the ramparts and staring in disbelief at the monstrous wave. Frozen in fear, they don't even think to flee. Vigor looks at us triumphantly.
Throw down your weapons. You fought valiantly, but you've lost the battle. Why don't you enjoy the spectacle instead? It's not every day that you get to see a city being swallowed up.
Chapter 7. Saved by Water. The soldiers throw themselves at the golems, but the ice creatures react quickly and block the attacker's blows. My father's men hold the advantage of numbers, but the layout of the top of the lighthouse prevents them from circling the enemies. Clustered together and protected by large shields, the ice golems form an impenetrable wall. I take out my bow, notch an arrow, and shoot it at Vigor. Alas, the golems have excellent reflexes. The shield of one ice creature intercepts the arrow. I make several attempts, but they all fail. My quiver is now empty. The enormous wave is only a few dozen metres from the lighthouse. Its roar masks the soldiers' shouts. At my feet lies Trisander's lifeless body. I bend over and beg her to wake up. Unfortunately, my efforts are in vain. As long as her soul is trapped in the Pendamar, she can't help us. That's when I notice the thin ice stick by her side. I remember the Guardian's words during our first dinner. She told us how she initially created her stick as a weapon, capable of piercing any material. An idea enters my mind. I insert the stick in my bow like an arrow, and notice that the ice creatures are perfectly lined up, like pieces on a chessboard. I stand up and yell at Aurel.
Aurel, it's time to play bowling!
My companion understands what I mean to do. He remembers his little game with the miniature golem created by Vigor. The wave strikes the lighthouse. Sprays of water leap up and fall back down, but one of them remains suspended in the air. Aurel, focusing hard, gestures with his hands as if shaping a ball and chants,
Aquasphera!
The water hanging in the air takes the shape of a sphere, and my companion sends it crashing against the creatures that collapse from the violent impact. For one short moment, there is empty space between me and the traitor Vigor. Now it's my turn to act. I close one eye, breathe deeply, and release the string of my bow. The sharpened stick flies over the golems and reaches the Pendamar, which explodes into pieces. The blue light inside floods out and into the Guardian's body. Trisander opens her eyes.
Gosh!
She gives a cry of bewilderment mixed with horror when she sees that the wave is no more than a few meters from the ramparts. Aurel and I help her to stand up, and without losing an instant, we join our hands together.
It's too late to calm it,
Trisander warns us.
We have to freeze it. Wait for my signal. Now!
Glacio!
We shout out in unison. The mass of water smashes against the embankment, rises up in the air, but just at the moment when it should drop back down and drown the city, it remains frozen.
Look, it's magnificent!
One soldier exclaims. A wall of ice has formed around Isil. The immobilized wave now shields the city from the storm's attacks. We're saved! We hear shouts of joy and relief from the Isil citizens. The Guardian cries out to the golems,
Golema, servitor!
Immediately her control over the golems is restored. The creatures circle Vigor, who hangs his head in defeat. He knows he doesn't have what it takes to overcome the Guardian. Soldiers surround him and arrest him. Trisander approaches Aurel and me and tells us,
You saved Isil, young people. I might have been shut up in the Pendamar, but I was aware of everything you did.
Then she turns to Vigor, who lowers his eyes.
What are we going to do with you, Vigor?
She laments.
He'll live in a cell in solitary confinement for a good while now,
my father declares. I decide to intervene. It's not up to me to decide, but you should know that Vigor acted this way because our Plumodian enemies imprisoned his parents. And he also urged us to save the Isil population. In the same way frozen water can become a liquid again, can't a traitor become loyal again? Wouldn't it be a shame to lose such a talented apprentice? Let's remember that it would be good to have three guardians to protect Isil from waves and Plumodian's future attacks. Aurel continues,
Vigor's parents are citizens of Esau. Our priority is not to punish Vigor, but to save his parents.
My father and the guardians scratch their heads. Our arguments make them reconsider. They promise to do everything they can to obtain the release of Vigor's parents and to be merciful to the traitorous apprentice. Vigor shyly directs a grateful smile at us.
In the meantime, Laravine, the guardian suggests with a laugh, you should give me archery lessons. Mastering water is important, but aiming accurately can sometimes be just as crucial.
I'd be happy to, I reply. But to aim well, there's no magic formula. You just need to practice a lot. And that's something that can't be learned from books.
The end.